Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air, asking the questions you want to know with sports biggest and best names. Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
And we want to welcome you back for another edition of the Fastest Hour in Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, it has been fast and furious. We have been working overtime. In fact, I just returned from Las Vegas, keeping up with the NBA Summer League. And I had an opportunity to check out some of the future stars in the game. Several teams we are keeping a very close watch on, and one in particular that is always on top. That, of course, is the Dallas Mavericks. We're delighted to welcome back a Big E favorite. He is with the Fort Worth Star Telegram, NBA beat writer Dwayne Price. He's been out there for about a week in Sin City. And Dwayne Price, are you being on your best behavior? I hope so.
Hey, after the first 4 days, I didn't go anywhere. I said, I'm going to wait because I know what Las Vegas would do to you. And I figured I have to be out here for about 12 days. I want to ease my way into it.
Ease your way into it. Well, there is a lot of temptation out there. But let's get down to business. Let's first and foremost, let's hit on the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, when you think about Summer League, it's not necessarily just about the wins and the losses, but it is about player development, them showcasing their skill set, and really their ability, how quickly they're going to be able to grasp basic concepts within a system. What are some of your takeaways from watching some of the teams out there and, of course, the Dallas Mavericks?
Well, I like what the Mavericks, some of the young players, Guy McHale, the rookie from Israel. I mean, he's a point guard, 6'3". I mean, this guy, he's got great handle. He's walking right in. It's like he's got a very high basketball IQ, pass the ball very well, shoots the ball very well. It's almost like he knows when to pass and when to shoot, and he keeps his turnovers down. I was talking to Mark Cuban last night, and it's like this guy's poised. Also, another kid is a Jackie Carmichael, a rookie free agent, undrafted out of Illinois State, 6'9", 240, loves to attack the rim, attack the basket all day. Rebound last night, he got 23 points and 9 rebounds in the win over the Los Angeles Clippers. I think this guy's going to be a keeper. I went undrafted, but he's just a bruiser type player.
And I think, Dwayne, one of the biggest surprises has been the play of Josh Okoinen. He has really come out there. And when you start looking at the analytics and the plus-minus, I mean, he was plus 11 versus the Clippers the other night, played 24 minutes, had 24 points, and he was perfect from the free throw line. He looks like a brand-new player.
Josh, the thing with Josh is, Josh can get 20 points just falling out of bed. I mean, he's leading his team in scoring with over 20 points a game. Last night, they asked him to come off the bench because the Clippers have a much larger backcourt. Josh said, that's okay. I come out the bench. Last night, he ended up with a game-high 24 points on 6-for-9 shooting. I mean, I just wish he was about 6'2" instead of 5'9". You know, he could make this team because that's one thing that NBA teams like. They like guys who know how to score, and Josh knows how to score.
Well, he was interviewed at halftime on NBA TV, and I really liked his answer. He said, you know, I need to do a better job of distributing the ball. He wants to find his teammates. Obviously, that tells you, first and foremost, he is an unselfish player. It's not all about the offensive points and his point production.
Yeah, he's got to get some assists, and he also got to play better defense. I was talking to the summer league coach, Monte Ellis, about that. He said he reminds him of Eddie House. I don't know if you remember Eddie House. He used to play for the Phoenix Suns. Knocked around the league probably about 12 or 13 years. Wasn't very tall, but he knew how to score. That's what Josh does. Josh knows how to score, but he got to figure out how to pass, and he got to figure out how to play defense, because with him being on about 5'9", you know what's going to happen. They're going to post him up all night long.
Hey, we are talking to one of our favorite basketball junkies. He is the NBA beat writer, does an outstanding job with the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Of course, his name is Dwayne Price. And Dwayne, before we get too far into the interview, tell all of our listeners where they can go and check you out on Twitter and online.
Well, on Twitter, you can catch me at Dwayne Price. That's D-W-A-I-N Price, P-R-I-C-E. And also, you can catch me at the Star Telegram website. That's star-telegram.com. My blog is on there. All my stories on there. I'm going to have a summary of the what the Mavericks did this summer in the newspaper tomorrow, so you can check that out. I know all you guys out there don't live in the Fort Worth area, so you can't buy the newspaper, so you can at least read it online.
That's right. We are in a number of different markets. In fact, we have recently relocated. We're in H-Town. We are in Houston, Texas, and we are so fortunate. We are recording here at the Lucky Run Studios in Richmond. Just a beautiful new set, and we are excited to be on board. But let me tell you, you were just momentarily, you were talking about Dwayne, number 33, Gal Mikael, this Israeli point guard, 6'3". You talk about just the confidence. He's so self-assured. I love his moxie. But one of the things that I love the most about his game, if you're a post player, you better have your hands ready. I was talking to Coach Carlisle about this because, I mean, he's got some serious handles. He is going to get you the rock.
And I was talking to Mark Cuban about him last night. He said the best thing he likes about Gall is he sees the play developing and he knows what's going to happen next. And you're exactly right. If you were you supposed to be, if you're looking around, he's going to get the ball to you. It almost kind of reminds you of, I hate to make comparisons, but if you remember the way John Stockton
passed
and all that,
yeah.
He kind of handles the ball a little bit like that. Very headed player, and I guarantee, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get because obviously Jose Calderon is the number one point guard for the Mavericks, and then they got Shane Larkin, who unfortunately going to miss the entire summer league after breaking his right ankle in practice last week. But if Gall can get some playing time, I think he's going to be the point guard of the future of this team.
Hey, you know, I talk about the post players better be ready, but if you watch him, especially in transition, he's so good at breaking down the defender off the dribble. It really is something. But in terms of his penetration, when he gets into the lane, you better be ready for the kick out and hit the three-point shot.
Better ready, because he'll be hanging in the air, and he'll just thread that needle, you know, like Jason Kidd, like Magic Johnson.
Uh-huh.
He'll be making these comparisons, but it is what it is, at least, you know what I mean? But this guy, I guarantee you. You know what I wish in a situation like this? I wish the Mavericks were a team where was just rebuilding from scratch, you know, like they did right before Dirk got here. When Dirk got here.
Yeah.
Then you would see how good this guy is because he would get the minutes and all that, and he would keep improving, you know, game after game and year after year.
Well, Dwayne, I know you're going to agree with me, but truly, I mean, Gall is going to be a fan favorite. He has so much charisma when you listen to him speak, and I think he is beyond his years. I know he and his father are very, very close, and his father is very supportive of his career and has done an amazing job raising his son, but I just love the maturity and how he deflects the praise. He's all about team. It's not about himself.
Yeah, and he's 25 years old, so you know he should be mature because a lot of guys are 25 years old, you know, with the league getting younger and younger and younger. They've probably been in the NBA about 6 years by now. And Gall started out, he went to Wichita State for a couple of years.
A shocker.
he was the shocker. And then he told me the other day that the reason he left there is because not only did Wichita State change coaches, but he got a big offer, you know, at age 19, age 20, you know, from an Israeli team back home. And, you know, when you're 19 and 20, they're throwing millions of dollars at you. You got to take it. You know, you didn't have much of a choice. So, that's why he did that. He went back there and won a title in Israel. He also was the MVP. So this guy has gotten his teeth cut on the basketball court. He knows what he's doing out there.
We are having a great time hooping it up with my dear friend Dwayne Price with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Does an outstanding job. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And you can listen to this on podcast in its entirety. And we love hearing from you. So email us at info@eradiosports.com. Now, as I'm doing my homework, Dwayne, I want to learn more about Ricky Lito. He is 6'6 guard. And one thing that I noticed about him, and Coach Carlisle, you know, he will always talk about this. He wants guards that'll go in there, not afraid to make contact and get on the glass and get those rebounds. And I think Ricky has the capability to do that. He's not afraid to make contact. But he has had such an amazing journey throughout his basketball career. He needs some stability. Gosh, was he at four different high schools? He's been jumping around all over the place.
Yeah, four different high schools in three different states, you know, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. And when he went to, he's one of the top 25 high school players in the country a couple of years ago. Then he went to Providence, and the NCAA stepped in and ruled that he was academically ineligible to play, so he had to sit out his entire freshman year last year, even though he was able to practice with the Providence team. He was not able to play any games, so he hadn't played any basketball in a year and a half, you know. So, but he's 6'6", very smooth. I mean, if you watch him shoot, My son was at the game last night, and I said, watch this guy and watch him shoot. When we took his first shot, I said, who does he shoot like? It was Kevin Durant.
Oh, yes.
Same.
Oh, great observation. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's absolutely the same form. And I think this guy, I think his upside is just tremendous. You know, he loves to go to the basket. He's got a nice outside shot, including from the three-point range. If they give him the playing time, I think the Mavs fans are going to be happy with Ricky Lito.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks certainly have rolled the dice. We'll see how that plays out. They also rolled the dice with Shane Larkin. Give us an update on him. How did that right ankle surgery go? What can you tell us?
Surgery was successful. They had the surgery earlier this week. And, of course, he broke the ankle last Friday. And the very last practice before the Mavs were getting ready to depart Dallas to come down here to Las Vegas. Very unfortunate because he was the 18th pick in the draft. And they were expecting a lot out of Shane. And a lot of times, particularly with those rookies, the way they get the way they get some of their improvements is in the summer league. And, you know, he's missing out on five really big games when the Mavs can see what kind of development he needs to make. So he's going to be out for 3 months. He likely will not return until the middle of October, which is the middle of training camp. So he's going to be behind. He's got a lot of catching up to do because Jose Calderon is already there. Of course, Devin Harris, who just underwent toe surgery, he's going to be there. And, of course, Guy McHale. So good luck to Shane Larkin because he's going to need it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a bit of a bummer he's not, you know, able to participate in summer league because that really does help, you know, help you make that transition as a player. And especially with the Mavs having this revamped backcourt, you know, he's looking to get some playing time as soon as possible when he gets back and is in full recovery. Now, one of the guys that you can tell that he is really maximizing this time off in the offseason has been Jay Crowder. Had a chance to visit with him. I know that you did as well. It's evident he's lost 15 pounds. He's working really, really hard. And I thought he did some really nice things out there. And I'm seeing more consistency, perhaps, even with his ability to stretch the defense and hit that three-point shot.
Yeah, he's working on his three-point. I asked him, is it there yet? One of those games where he was like 2 out of 9. Like,
oh. I know.
Last night he was 0-for-4 from a three-point range. Well, he's averaging right at 16, 17 points a game out here. He's playing tough defense because when you play in the three spot, most of the teams out there, the top scorer is a guy that plays the three spot. So Jay's got his hands full on both ends of the court because he has to be the leader of this team. He's the one true veteran out here that was on the Mavericks team last year because Bernard James is not here, of course. So the Mavs are expecting a lot out of Jay Crowder, and so far he's been delivering. Hit some clutch baskets last night down the stretch.
Well, Jay Crowder certainly, I thought, established himself within the league last year. I think made a very positive impression. And it's interesting, you know, for the first game when I was out there against the Kings, I was listening to the guys sitting behind me, and Dwayne, you'll get a kick out of it. They're like, hey, you got to watch Jay Crowder. This guy could be a linebacker. I mean, they were just talking about how much they loved his frame, his body. And Jay's one of those guys, I mean, he's not afraid of contact. He'll nail it on you.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing that I saw observed from my last season.
Uh-huh.
Like he didn't like the contact. But this year, I don't know if anybody out there, if you guys ever been to the summer league, but they tend to let you play out here.
They do.
I mean, you gotta just almost get your arm broken off before they call a foul out here. And Jay is constantly driving to the basket, constantly getting banged on, constantly being on the floor, and he just gets right back up and come back and do it all over again. So I think the Mavericks are going to like the improvement Jay Crowder made during this offseason.
Dwayne, did you get a chance to talk to Coach Carlisle about Jay Crowder and how he sees him fitting in to this team next year?
Yeah, I talked to him and he said the one thing that Jay is going to have to do is he's going to have to learn how to be a defensive stopper. I mean, when you play in the three position,
okay.
I mean, that's LeBron James. I mean, that's Carmelo Anthony. I mean, that's all the big guns in the NBA. So if you can't score, then at least you have to be able to stop somebody. And then I relayed that information to Jay. He said, oh, I love it. You know, if that's what it's going to take for me to get on the court, then I'm all for it and I'm going to be able to do it.
Well, I had a chance to talk to Jay, too, and I asked him about how in the world did you lose 15 pounds in such a short period of time? Because I think he lost it in about a month and a half. And he said that his mom had to, you know, rework that menu. He loves fried foods and he had to eliminate that. So. He had a big smile. He's still a kid in many ways. Such a great young man. Now, one of the guys, kind of give us some insight. We had a chance, Dwayne, to watch Bernard James the first game against the Kings, and I thought he did a great job. You know, he was struggling offensively, but he did a good job pursuing the ball and going after the glass and getting those rebounds. I think he finished with a team-high 9 rebounds, but then we didn't see him. These DNPs, I mean, what's going on with Bernard James? I like this young man.
They had 9 rebounds and 3 blocks in the first game against Sacramento. In the second game, he had an illness, so he didn't play. And then the last 2 games, he was sent home for personal reasons. And I believe he went home. Those personal reasons by my estimation, of course, they're not going to tell you. Sometimes you just got to sit down and figure out stuff for yourself. On Monday, Bernard James's contract was supposed to have been guaranteed for the upcoming season. That did not happen because the Mavericks persuaded him to push that date back so they can have some extra cap space to pursue some other players. And obviously he agreed to it. And so I guess part of the agreement is that, okay, well, technically I'm a free agent. So I don't want to come out here and, you know, and get myself hurt. And then now you guys screw me on my money. So I'm going home. So that's the way I think it went down. But he's not going anywhere. You know, they needed some money. They signed, well, they haven't signed him yet, but they agreed to terms with center Samuel Dallenberg. So they needed some of that money that they was going to give Bernard James. Because they can always come back and get Bernard James because he's their own free agent. So the NBA allows them to go over the salary cap to sign your own free agent. So he's not going anywhere.
And I think there was a lot of questions surrounding that, a lot of intrigue in terms of how the Mavericks are filling out the roster. I mean, the landscape has certainly changed since the month of April. Jose Calderon's on, Monte Ellis, you're talking about Samuel D. How do you think things are coming together now for the Mavericks, and can they be competitive in this very difficult Western Conference?
Well, they're going to be competitive, but not to the point where, you know, if you're talking about winning titles like they won in 2011, that's not going to happen unless they just, you know, get lucky. Which, I mean, because we can always remember and go back to the summer of 2010, you know, when they picked up Tyson Chandler and all that group, and no one thought they was going to win the NBA title. So if anybody thought they were, I know they lied to their teeth, you know. So a lot of this stuff is comes down to luck. You know, you got to be in the right place at the right time. All you got to do is ask the Miami Heat and San Antonio Spurs this past year. I mean, they wheeled the trophy out. Looks like the Spurs are getting ready to win in game six. Then up five with less than 30 seconds to go. And we all know what happened with the Ray Allen three-point shot and Tim Duncan.
Yes.
And sitting on the bench in crunch time, and Tony Parker sitting on the bench in crunch time for whatever crazy reason. I don't know what happened to Greg Popovich. I think he had a brain freeze or what happened. So it's all luck. I don't care what anybody says. It goes a well-timely injury right here. LeBron James hurt. Oh, Miami's not winning anything. You know, you saw what happened with the Lakers when Kobe Bryant went out. Okay, got swept in the first round. You can't win without your best players. And you got to have your best players on the court. So having said that, if the Mavericks in some kind of way catch lightning in the bottle, you know, who am I to say they're not going to win it? I don't know. I don't know. They got a bunch of new players. Chemistry is so very delicate. We don't know how it's going to work out until they all throw them out there and see what happens.
Well, they got a lot of new players, but let's not forget their steadfast. They've got their head coach in Rick Carlisle, and we've said it many times on our show. You're talking about one of the top three coaches within the league, and so somehow, some way, he's got to find a way to assemble and put this all together and get this chemistry going.
Yeah, and I think he will. Like you said, Rick is one of the top three coaches in the league, you know, along with Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich, and that's one thing he knows how to do. He knows how he's got a system. Yeah, he seems to know how to get the right players on the court at the right time. He's always mixing and matching and getting players in and out of the lineup. And I like what he does. And I think with this and Dallenberg, they finally got a center. You know, now I'm not going to sit in and say he's another Tyson Chandler, but he does know how to rebound. He does know how to block shots. And if he can just do that and get 7 or 8 points a game, I think they'd be all right in the middle.
Is Samuel Dallenberg, is he healthy?
Yeah, they say he's healthy. I mean, at least he's not, you know, required to have any surgery, you know, unlike Shane Larkin and Devin Harris. So it'll be okay. He only played 47 games last year, but Milwaukee was doing some other things. So I think that works out in Mavs' favor. This is his fifth team in the last 5 years. You know, you kind of worry about guys like that sometimes, but maybe he's hungry and maybe he knows if he goes out there and plays well, that when he becomes a free agent in a couple of years, he can get another big contract.
We are providing some NBA Summer League coverage. We're talking about the Dallas Mavericks. Dwayne Price is joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You just mentioned Devin Harris. That deal's been solidified because I know they had rescinded it, and then I guess he's back on board. Is that true?
Yeah, it was originally a 3-year, $9 million contract. And the Mavs and Devin Harris, you know, they both surprisingly found out that something's wrong with his toe. And he had to have toe surgery, and he probably would not return until sometime in September. So I talked to Mark Cuban last night, and he said Devin Harris not going anywhere. They're going to restructure the contract. You know, he didn't give me the terms of it, but obviously it's going to be lower than the original deal. So he's not going anywhere. He'll be on the team this fall.
Just a couple more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Dwayne Price from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And I know, Dwayne, you've had a chance to check out some of the other teams. I think Cody Zeller, he certainly left quite an impression on me. But I think what is amazing is, like father, like son, past and present, so many of these second-generation NBA players that are up and coming, Tim Hardaway Jr., Glenn Rice Jr., we got Patrick Ewing Jr. I mean, it really is remarkable. We even think about Shane Larkin, you know, of course, his father, Barry Larkin, you know, terrific Major League Baseball player back in the day. So it's really neat to see these kind of bloodlines.
Also, we're forgetting one. We got Elston Turner.
Oh, my. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, he went to Texas A&M, got 40 points last year at Kentucky, against the University of Kentucky. And he went undrafted this year, but he's out here. And matter of fact, I talked to his dad a couple of times since I've been out here. And Elston had gotten hurt in the shoot-around after the second game, but he was able to play last night. So, yeah, it is kind of weird. I'm almost like I'm telling my age. Cause a lot of
I was going to say it makes you feel a lot older because I'm like, man, I remember Tim Hardaway Jr. playing, or senior.
Yeah, I used to cover these guys. You know, he was Kobe's daddy. You know, Jelly Bean Brown, I used to cover him when he played for the Houston Rockets for a minute. Like, oh, man, I'm getting old or something. I'm only like, how old am I? Oh, I'm 26 years old. Okay, 36 at least.
Hey, you know, and it's interesting, too, we look at, you know, Jay Crowder, and we think about how he was able to make that seamless transition into playing in the NBA. Of course, his father, Corey, had played, and you have to wonder how much these guys' fathers are playing in terms of their ability to be successful on the biggest stage.
Well, you know, the advantage that you have, you know, when you have a dad that played the game, is they've already been through everything, so they know, and they can tell you what to expect. So some of the mind field, so to speak, they can tell you how to sidestep that, how to do this, how to handle your business, not only on the court, but off the court. You know, you handle your money, you know, stay away from all the trappings, you know, the hanger-ons and stuff like that. So they can help you mature quicker than some of the other guys who don't have fathers or parents that can tell them those things or who have been down that same road before. So it's a truly a big advantage. We talked, as a matter of fact, we had talked to Jay about that last year, and I can't wait to talk to Shane Larkin about that because his daddy, Barry, really took it to another level because he's in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. So
yes.
Big Red Machine in Cincinnati Reds. So you know he's been there, done that, and seen it all. And that's why when you talk to Shane, you can see, oh, this guy gets it. He already knows. And I like that. I like guys that get it, that, you know, and stay away from all that stuff that's off the field because you and I know it's always going to be around you. I can't tell you. I used to cover the Dallas Cowboys, and I can honestly tell you they are truly America's team because we went to some places, you know, in Philadelphia and in New York and Washington, and we thinking that's the Eagles, the Giants, and Redskins country. Oh, man, Cowboy fans everywhere, everywhere. So I can see that the temptations are just off the charts. And then when you're a great athlete, and, you know, the women are there. And yeah, they're going to love you. They're going to love your money more than they're going to love you.
That's right.
They're going to look out for all that.
There is a lot of distractions out there. So listen, Dwayne, we sincerely appreciate you coming on board, providing some great information, giving us the latest on the state of the franchise. I know the Mavericks struck out with Dwight Howard, but I am excited about the pieces of the puzzle, what they're putting together, and it'll be interesting to see when we get ready to roll again here, what, late in October, early November, right?
Yeah, that'd be okay. Like I said, they went 41-41, missed out on the playoff by two games, but Dirk Nowitzki missed the first 27 games of the season. So if they just go 9-18 in those games, they're 7th seed out west. So I'm not worried about whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. It's how deep they're going to get into the playoffs. So it doesn't matter whether they're going to get to the second round or at least get to the Western Conference final.
Very good. Dwayne, tell one more time all the listeners where they can go and check out your work.
Star Telegram at STAR-Telegram, TELEGRAM.com. That's where you can go and read my stories and my blog. And the Twitter is at Dwayne Price. It's at DWAIN Price, PRICE. I'm getting ready to tweet in a minute.
Okay, very good. Dwayne, thanks so much for dropping by, and we will catch up with you again real soon. Take care, my dear.
Okay, Alicia, appreciate it.
You bet. We're going to step aside. We're getting ready to talk some college football. Stay close.